Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is another stat show. So as you know, it is Mick and it is Mike from Opta once again. And it's another Liverpool victory we're doing this. I'll need to look back and do a stat show on the amount of stat shows we've done and how many wins we've got, because I imagine it's quite high. But another Liverpool victory, 3-0 over Forest, another great win. But, before we get stuck into all the good stuff, Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, really well. Had a nice little week off last week. Nice. So I'm feeling refreshed and ready to get some more stats out there anyway.
I mean, we were talking about it before we started recording about, like, stats is like, I mean, obviously it's your job, but it is the most popular that it's ever been in basically probably all sports in terms of how to dissect stuff. And it's not the be all and end all, and these shows aren't, like, I guess, too serious, unless we're talking about how Mo Salah is the best player in the world. But apart from that, it's generally like just to highlight the good stuff that Liverpool are trying to do. And before we get into the game and stuff, of course, the lineup and whatever, I imagine we probably all could have predicted it to a man what was going to start. Until the horrible stuff came out about Luis Diaz's parents back home, that both were kidnapped and then his mum's been safely returned, which is great news. But apparently at the time of recording this, his father's still not back home. And it's just horrible, isn't it? Because I think Klopp confirmed after the game Diaz would have started the game. So it's just horrible. And Klopp saying, like, yeah, this is just something that you can't legislate, you can't like think about that going into the game, because it shouldn't even be a thing. It should be an injury or suspension, not something like this where you miss a game. So it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, how do you even... Klopp said he's had over 1,000 games as a manager and he's never experienced anything like it, and well, I can't remember it ever happening. So it's absolutely crazy, and your thoughts go out to Diaz and his family, and his mum obviously will be still worried about where the father is as well. So yeah, we just hope and pray that he turns up safe as soon as possible, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's just that, I mean, you can't even to begin to think what he's been going through and stuff. And of course, Jota starting his place, gets the goal, runs over, Diaz's shirt and kind of parades it for everyone to convey that everyone's thinking about him. And then I saw Diaz like repost it on his Instagram, so of course he was watching the game and still checking in and stuff, but his mind would have been fully elsewhere, and it was to be expected. But yeah, Jota gets the goal in terms of the game, like 31st minute. And yeah, it was a lovely goal to kind of break what we expected straight away. I think from the kickoff of the game, usually it's passed back, Konate, long ball. Van Dijk was kind of saying, nah, don't do that, because these have basically gone straight into formation, 10 behind the ball. And you could see that was going to be the kind of pattern of play and try and break away with Alanga on the pace. But I think when you get a goal in the first 30 minutes like we did, it just kind of breaks them down a little bit. And it was a lovely goal and a lovely tribute to Luis Diaz as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we've said it sort of this season, Liverpool haven't started games very well and often gone 1-0 down early on. I think we've spoken about that in this show, to be fair, how many times it's happened over the course of the year. So it was nice to see Liverpool started on the front foot straight away and sort of really never looked troubled in the entire first half. It was just a case of, right, when are they going to get a good enough opening to get the goal? And it came from a nice little link up between Salah and Nunez, and then the rebound Jota's there to put it in. And yeah, it was nice to see him pay tribute to Diaz, to show that they were playing for him, really, I guess, more than anything, because I think the players will have been having him in the mind throughout the game, really. I know they're obviously focusing on their jobs and getting the win, but they will have had that on their mind as well. So it was a nice tribute. But yeah, as you say, I think it was a case of, it's important to get the first goal here, because don't give them anything to defend. Don't give Forest anything to say, right, because they were already going to sit with 10 men behind the ball. It was just a case of don't give them a lead to defend, because then it becomes nervy and the nerves can then come onto the pitch. But that we didn't allow that to happen, so that's really good.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Nunez and Salah link-up, which we'll save the best to last. We'll save it after the last section of the show, because there's some good stuff to discuss. But it is, like you said, a great goal, and then we then back her up with another goal 4 minutes later. And Nunez, of course, he's involved in the first goal, and then he gets his goal. And when you watch it back, it is a lovely piece of play by Liverpool with Szoboszlai, and he feeds it into Salah then kind of pulls it back and then clips it into Szoboszlai, and then Szoboszlai just hits it back, and Nunez is just there, right place, right time. And yeah, I mean, he is box office Nunez, of course. He then goes on to try and score an overhead kick from the edge of the box, which we've been laughing about before we started, like after the miss against Toulouse. And he's still in there, still scoring, still involved, still being a menace, still creating havoc. But again, he still gets on the score sheet again, and another goal where you think, right, 2-0, 35th minute. The way they're playing for us, like, you kind of just felt at that point that Liverpool, the way we've been playing and the kind of the mood that we're in at the moment, where everyone's all over the pitch, everyone's running everywhere, is obviously like basically the leader of that pack. He's absolutely just appears out of nowhere in every position. It's amazing to see. But I mean, straight away, I was just like contrasting it to like last year, because I think yesterday was that 1 year since we got beat by Leeds at Anfield, and you look back at that time thinking, we just didn't have an identity. We looked a shadow, and fast forward a year, and of course, at the end of last season, we saw it with the new setup, and we've just took it into this year, and Liverpool just look like just a more controlled. Like, there's times where we look a bit maybe defensively susceptible to counter attacks, but I feel like we've just kind of found our rhythm again. And I think Nunez and, like mentioned, Szoboszlai and all the other lads have made a big effort to kind of get us to that point again, haven't they?
Yeah, to be honest, it's nice to see like Nunez now getting a run of games, because I don't think he's, even last season, he never got a consistent run where he's starting regular games. Like, if you actually look, of his 55 appearances, he's only had 33 starts. That's 22 as a sub, so it's about 3 in 5, 60% ish have come as from starter. So I think it's been, and Szoboszlai literally played every minute this season. So the two you mentioned there are getting now game time, more regular game time, and I think that helps. Last season, I don't think Liverpool ever really had that, where they had a settled team for a sustained period. Certainly not the team Klopp would have wanted to have out for that regular period. So that really does help. And as you mentioned with the second goal, I think that the game was over from that point on. Because I think Liverpool took the foot off the gas from then, thinking, right, we've got the second goal, that's a 2-goal cushion now. We don't need to go gung-ho and sweat us sweat his bollocks off trying to get a third and a fourth, because there's no need. There's a long old season to come. The game was sort of killed by that second goal, really. And so that was, I'd say the second was almost as important as the first. Obviously, you need the first, but just that second, just to give you the cushion, and then I think the crowd then can relax and the players can relax, and then it becomes a completely different game. And Forest obviously then really had to think, right, well, what do we do now? Do we have a damage limitation and try to stay with 10 men behind the ball, or do we try come out? And really didn't do either, really. They kind of weren't much of a threat. But yeah, I felt that second goal was a lovely, lovely goal. Helped by getting the first, because then Forest maybe did open up a little bit more, and it gave that opportunity for Szoboszlai to break forward and put the ball in. And as you say, Nunez, the box office player that he is, getting those big chances. And it obviously gave him the confidence. Although he'd have probably gone for the overhead kick even if he hadn't scored, knowing him. But yeah, it gave him the confidence to try stuff like that. So it was just really nice to see players playing with that freedom and confidence.
Yeah, I think even just something as simple as you're saying there, like 2-0, the game's over. I think, like, even if you look back to last year when it was 2-0, the game was never over in those games, because you always thought if they score, and there's a high likelihood that they will, Liverpool might start to crumble a little bit. And like now that you're at a point where you're like, right, two, we've got players who can control it, and even if we try something that doesn't come off, we can get the ball back, because we've got workmen in there now.
If you even look at the Forest fixture last year, the 3-2. Like, we just never felt like we made such hard work of that game when it should have been. We were pretty dominant in that match as well, and suddenly somehow concede two goals. So it's just, I think that's hopefully a good sign that this season this is a better Liverpool team. And well, we touch wood, and we hope and pray that it is the case. But yeah, it just shows the contract in terms of the exact fixture last season that. Where Liverpool have come.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that. I think we'd done a statue after that game, and we were just like laughing about like the long throws and just getting absolutely obliterated. And they tried it even in this game, and we were like, nah, mate, not today. Not happening today.
We've learned.
Yeah, learned a valuable lesson that day. That was one. Yeah, it was horrific. But yeah, Nunez's 10th goal contribution, if I'm right, 10 goals and 4 assists, which is, again, yeah, what a player. Like, he's just. He can miss open goals, but he can do mad stuff and crazy stuff. And he's just, I wouldn't change him for anyone. I really wouldn't. I just feel like he's so key to what we're doing, and he just creates so much havoc. But he's kind of honed that a little bit, which we'll get onto a little bit at the end of the show. And then just to complete in terms of completeness with the goals, it was all three of the front three scored, and Salah gets his goal on the 77th minute, and it's a. Right, because obviously I hadn't had an assist before this game, and he goes and gets two in the same game. But when you watch this one back, I love that the way it comes down. He's got the presence of mind just to chest it, and I mean not just chest it and then clear it or whatever. He's chesting it and then letting it drop, and then like working to find Salah, because he knows Salah's going to be there, of course. And then to play a ball with his weaker foot the way that he did into that area, the keeper coming out was a bit mad, but he played it with such. Swerve into the right area and power on it, and then Salah's got to do is make sure he gets the goalie to commit, and then just knock it in with his right foot, where he's getting ever more goals with his right foot. But it was even that was just like a really pleasing goal. Even like you said, the game was up at 2-0, but to get a third and to kind of cap it off and let Salah get a goal and Szoboszlai another assist was lovely to see, weren't it?
Yeah, I'm going to have to, when I've got time, look up how many times Liverpool have scored on the counter-attack from a corner when defending a corner, because I feel like we're so dangerous when we break away from defending our own box. You know, Salah's always then looking to run out and get a chance. And yeah, I mean, he got a bit of fortune, Szoboszlai, with the goalkeeper misjudging sort of the flight of the ball, really, and letting Salah in. So he got a bit of fortune, but he deserved it because, his first thought was, right, can I play somebody in? And he looked up and Salah was wheeling away up the pitch at full pelt. So it was nice to see that he got rewarded for that. And I was a bit worried that if the goalkeeper gets a touch, Szoboszlai might not have got the assist. If he'd have, like, touched it on its way through to Salah, he'd have taken it away. But he didn't, thankfully. So Szoboszlai gets the assist that he deserves. So, like I say, goes from no assists for Liverpool to two. I mean, the amount of chances he's creating, he'll get a lot more over the course of the season, I'm sure. So, in fact, he created others in that game as well. on at the weekend. So yeah, really, really pleasing.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the tweet that you put up as well, because you might as well, now we're talking about Mo Salah. Just having a look at it now, 729 retweets, 6,700 likes as at time of recording. Yeah, I saw this one and I was looking through the replies, and then a few people like, you're a horrible man.
Tottenham fans have found it.
Oh, have they as well? Is that why?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell us what it is. But yeah, I did read that and then kind of relive the horror of Spurs all over again. And we would then, I'd have to message you and go, why have you posted this? It just makes you feel, feel horrific, but it's just like, what could have been if it would have been given as a goal?
I said to you, it's sort of almost, please highlight the word almost. Don't make me think I'm more bothered about this than win. But I'm almost more annoyed than that it costs Salah this record that I'm about to say, almost more than it cost Liverpool the points in the game. So in that Tottenham game, obviously Diaz had the goal, which the PGMOL had to apologise for ruling out incorrectly. They gave it offside when it shouldn't have been. And Salah set up that goal, and he didn't get a goal or an assist other than that in that game. If he'd have if that goal had been correctly awarded as it should, Salah would have now had a goal or an assist in each of his last 16 Premier League games, which would have broken the record for that by any player in the Premier League. The current record is 15, which is Jamie Vardy when he had that amazing run when Leicester won the league. And Salah himself as well. In the 21-22 season, he had a run of 15 as well. So those two are the record of 15. Salah would be on 16 if it wasn't for that. Now, there probably won't be any Spurs fans watching this, but for any Spurs fans who found that tweet and had a go at me and said, oh, they're still crying about it a month later, that tweet's not about you. That tweet is not about that game. I am over it. Well, not really, but we're past it in terms of, yeah, we've got no points. We've got to accept that. What I was trying to make the point was how good a run Salah is on at the minute. That's the tweet is about Mo Salah. I don't care about Spurs, frankly. The tweet was about Mo Salah. And so it's got a lot of engagement and some abuse in there, and some Spurs fans telling Liverpool fans to stop crying and things like this. And
always.
Listen. We'll see where we both finish at the end of the season, then we might dig a few of them Spurs fans' tweets up. But so that the tweet was just to show the run of form Salah is in. So basically in his last 16 Premier League appearances, even if you don't count that assist, he has 11 goals and 9 assists. So 20 goal involvements in 16 games, and that's without that assist that he should have had for Diaz. So it's an astonishing run that he's on. And I saw some people say when the Saudi bids were coming in the summer, oh, he's showing signs of decline. If someone can back that up to me, I'd be impressed, because I'm seeing no signs of decline there when he's going 16 in a row where he's getting at least a goal or an assist. He is, I say it all the time, and I've said it on the show, I've said it to you, you've got to appreciate him while he's here, because he won't be here forever, whether he goes next year or whenever, doesn't matter. Just appreciate how good this guy is. That's all the tweet is about. And if Spurs fans want to think it was about them, that's on them.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It wouldn't be Twitter if there wasn't someone, at least one person in the comment of a tweet that's got load of engagement that says cry more. That's just like, it's just part of like, just be like part of the law. There's just got to be at least one person that does that. But yeah, I agree. It's like Salah, Klopp's referenced it recently, saying like Salah's always been, I think he said something along the lines of Salah's always been like a super fast player and whatever. But he's kind of like honing his game. Even now, he's still got loads of pace, still got loads of power, he still gets thrown all over the place, and he's only 20% gets the free kicks for them.
There's don't a get me started game. On that one in the first half where the lineman's right in front of it. Oh yeah. My God, that was so bad. Terrible.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's like a different set of rules for Mo Salah, isn't it? But like the stuff like that where he has maybe lost a touch of pace in terms of how rapid he was, but in terms of overall play, holding up the ball, even if he's not in the game, he still scores a couple of goals, i.e. Everton. And there's just, yeah, there's loads of good stuff that Mo Salah does. I mean, just like you said, we need to appreciate what he's doing right now because, yeah, like you said, he won't be around forever. So we need to keep these dialogues going and just kind of... yeah, appreciate what he's doing. And yeah, that kind of brings on to like the graphic you sent me about the teams, like the end of the game and stuff, like in terms of what the overall analysis. And there's some interesting stuff in there in terms of what how Liverpool did and like passing accuracy and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, so if you look at just the game stats, obviously Liverpool, it's fairly dominantly in Liverpool's favour. So the XG, Liverpool's XG was about 3.2. Nottingham Forest 0.45, so 3-0 was what the expected goal score pretty much was. So Liverpool actually underperforming a little bit there with 3.2. And you actually look at some of the chances, and maybe they could have scored a fourth or a fifth, but yeah, it's actually a good sign. It's not a bad sign to be underperforming your expected goals, which a lot of people think it is. It shows that Liverpool created a lot of chances in the game. 21 shots, 8 on target, 4 big chances, scored 3 of them, of course. But yeah, passing accuracy was at nearly 90%, 89.8% for Liverpool. Possession was 72.6%. So you can see basically how dominant a performance this was, which, you know, no disrespect to Nottingham Forest, but if Liverpool want to compete where they have been competing under Klopp for titles, these are the kind of stats you want to see. That's how dominant Liverpool have to be at home against teams who might finish in the bottom half of the table. That's the kind of stats Liverpool are going to have to start to maintain. So yeah, it was that's statistically a very pleasing, and it matches what we saw on the pitch as well. I don't think anyone would disagree that 3-0 was a fair reflection of the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, so then in terms of like Nunes then, because some of the stats you sent over about his performance, and yeah, like we were saying earlier, like box office, but it was an all action performance. He was involved in the first, obviously gets the goal with the second, but yeah, I think that the most interesting one on this is the passing accuracy, which is quite nice.
Yeah, so for those who can't see the stats, basically the stats were showing he had 5 shots, 1.15 XG, so expected to score about once, and he did. Chances created 1, but his passes, he completed 16 out of his 17 passes, so 94% passing accuracy, which for Darwin Nunez is not something for any striker, really, because strikers are in a position where they're often having to play trickier passes and they don't have as many teammates to play easy passes, 5-yard passes to. So to see him at 94.1%, I mean, it speaks to how dominant Liverpool were in terms of possession and able to get him on the ball in good areas. But yeah, I think that's really good. All 5 of his shots were in the first half, which was very funny. He had about half time, he had as many shots as he had passes, 5. So, but then obviously, I think at 2-0, then Liverpool kind of took the foot off the gas and stopped. So that's more the reason he didn't then have another shot in the second half. But still, 5 shots over a game is still a lot, let alone a half. To get 1.15 XG as well, which is well above what any player will average over the season in a game. So, yeah, he's statistically had a very good game. And it's nice to see him rewarded with a goal as well. Even if it was a tap-in, it's still nice to see you getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, tap-ins, we'll take them all day. Especially, he's in the right positions. And the runs he makes as well, like the space, like he's always on the edge and he always makes the run. So it's like, if you've got, like Trent and Szoboszlai, Salah now creating... I mean, he always has created, but he seems to be getting more and more involved in that type of stuff. When you've got someone like Darwin Nunes, who's willing to always run in behind, all you got to do is look up, play the ball into the space. You know he's got enough pace and power to get on the end of it and either has a shot on goal or he can create for someone else. So, again, it just proves how important he is for us. And I think Klopp's referenced that recently, like how happy he is and getting involved in the team, and he's involved in everything, which is, again, when it's Darwin Núñez, you're always a little bit more happier than for him than everyone else, just because the critics he's had and stuff. So it is always a little bit nicer and sweeter when he does good stuff in a game. And then like we were saying before, we'll save the best to last then. And again, Darwin Núñez is involved in this one and Mo Salah and their combos and the combinations that they've had this season. I think the stat about all Núñez's assists have been for Salah. But then, the one you sent me over about their involvement together, I think it just goes to prove how in tune they are as well. I think it's a promising sign, isn't it? Hopefully if Salah stays long with them next season, then they can create as much as they want together, because they're both goal scorers and they both know what each other needs to get into those areas.
Yeah, they seem to be on the same wavelength a lot of times, don't they? And they seem to understand each other, which is really good to see. Bear in mind, they've only played together for a year and a half-ish. As you mentioned, all Núñez has 8 assists for Liverpool, 4 this season, 4 last season. All 8 have been for Mo Salah goals, which is amazing, really, that's happened. It's not often you'll get that, where 8 in a row are all for the same player, let alone your first 8 at the club. But the stat that we're going to talk about here is how often they actually create chances for each other. So they've created 14 chances for each other this season. Núñez has done 5 to Salah. Salah's done 9 in return for Núñez. And in about 400 minutes on the pitch together. So they're creating a chance for each other less than every half an hour that they play together. So 3 times a game-ish. There's no other pair in the Premier League that have played at least 300 minutes together who are on less than 45 minutes, so more than 1.5. The closest is Moussa Diaby and Ollie Watkins at Aston Villa. They're at 46 minutes per chance created for each other. They've actually 17 chances are created for each other is the most, so that's just above Núñez and Salah on 14. But they've played nearly twice the amount of minutes, so minutes per Núñez and Salah are well ahead, like 3 times per night. I'll be amazed if they can keep that up for the whole season, really, because it's that higher a sort of rate. Some interesting combos in the list, and if you look at the top 10 as well, it's Eze and Eduard at Crystal Palace there every 52 minutes. Jota and Szoboszlai, who I wouldn't have thought when I was looking at this, they're 8th in the list for this every 62 minutes, which is an interesting little combo that you wouldn't have necessarily thought in your mind. Oh, yeah, they create a lot of chances for one another, but clearly they are. But not as frequently as Núñez and Salah at every half an hour, which... You know, I just want to see Núñez continue to get a run of games alongside Salah and to see that relationship blossom.
Yeah, I was surprised when you sent me over the list, and I was just having a look down and saw Jota and Szoboszlai. I was like, that's a bit of a mad one, because the onus and the focus is on Núñez and Salah all the time. That Jota, of course, playing more games, of course, last game because of Diaz being unavailable, but getting more game time as well, and Szoboszlai kind of, again, I think that speaks to how all action Szoboszlai is, because he's generally on that right hand side. Jota's usually on the left hand side or through the middle. But he's picking up obviously those areas, or he's able to find those gaps where he can play balls through to Jota. So I think that speaks to how many good players we've got now. Really, like you said, there's others in the list there, but the fact that even 62 minutes for those two, a chance every 62 minutes is still very good, isn't it, in terms of what Liverpool are trying to achieve this season.
Like I said, there's only one in the list below 45 minutes. You generally 60 minutes is a really good relationship if you're creating, and I know it doesn't sound good, that's what, one every or two every sort of one every hour doesn't seem that long when the game's an hour and a half, but that it's not often players combined for chances that often. So 60, if you're about 60 minutes, you've obviously got that good understanding where you're creating chances for one another. I mean, a lot of these chances created might be Jota just laying it off and Szoboszlai hitting it from 30 yards. So I'm not saying they're all amazing chances, and it might be different if you run big chances. But I think with Núñez and Salah, a lot of them are really good chances. You actually look at the one that for Jota's first goal against Forest at the weekend, Salah's played Núñez away, and it was a tightish angle. It wasn't an easiest shot, but it was a really good opportunity. It wasn't like a 20-yard pop shot where he's less likely to score. It was a good run through from Núñez and well found from Salah. So that's what pleased me most about the Salah and Núñez link up, is they create good chances for one another, and that helps Liverpool to then obviously score a lot more goals.
Yeah, and I just want to go back to Salah a little bit, because I've just been looking at like the top scorers and assists in the Premier League. Of course, Haaland's top with 11 goals, but you've got Salah and Son on 8, but then Mo Salah's got 4 assists. So in terms of like the most amount of goal contributions in the Premier League so far, that's Salah's top on 12, which is, again, it's funny because like Son's having a great season, scored 8 goals and got 1 assist, but everyone's like, oh, Son's having a great season. But then when people talk about Salah, it's like, yeah, it's Mo Salah. When it's like, yeah, but he still needs the same plaudits, because he's still doing the stuff, he's still scoring the goals, he's still getting involved. And I just think it's the levels that he's set, I guess, have been a rod for his own back in a weird way, because of how many goals he scored. But he's well on his way to scoring another load of goals this season for Liverpool, isn't he?
He's already on 10 in all competitions, and it's October. So he's taken 2 months to get to 10. He's hit 30 in each of the last 3 seasons. I'd love him to get there again, and get 30 in 4 seasons in a row would be ridiculous. There's not many players even capable of that, let alone to achieve it. So, yeah, I'd love him to get to 30. Obviously, he goes away for African Cup of Nations in January, so I think he misses a couple of Premier League games. He misses early FA Cup, but he might not play anyway. I think the League Cup semi-final, if Liverpool do get there, we're obviously playing Bournemouth this week in that. So if Liverpool to get to semi-final, he'd miss that for African Cup of Nations. So that sort of hurts him in his chances of getting to 30 goals, because he'll miss a few games, and we don't know how fit he'll be when he came. Because last time he went to African Cup of Nations, Egypt kept going to extra time and penalty shootouts, and the amount of minutes, they were never going to sub him, were they? So the amount of minutes he was playing, so we hope he doesn't go to extra time. I'd love him to win it, but please do it without going to extra time if you can. Try to do it in the 90 minutes. It affected him that season as well, because he scored slightly fewer when he came back. He still hit 30 goals that season. But yeah, it'll just make it a bit harder this season, but I would love him to get there.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect place to end the show. Talking about Mo Salah once again. It's not a stat show. We don't spend 60% or 70% of the time talking about Mo Salah, and I think we've achieved that again, Mike, so fair play. But yeah, nice one for jumping on, Mike, as always. If you're not following Mike on Twitter, then please go and do it. I'll put all of the details in the description on the show, so you can go and give him a follow on Twitter. But yeah, as always, Mike, thanks for jumping on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, we appreciate it. These stat shows are... just going to keep going with them. Mike's always nice enough to jump on with me, and of course when Liverpool win games and there's loads to talk about and loads of good stuff, then it's always nice and juicy to get stuck into what Liverpool are doing. So it's always good stuff. But yeah, as always, appreciate it, and we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Network.